Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the At-Large Ad Hoc Working Group on the Transition of U.S. Government Stewardship of the IANA Function on Monday, the 24th of November, 2014 at 1500 UTC. On the call today on the English channel, we have Gordon Tillicott, Yasuchi Kitamura, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Alan Greenberg, Glenn McKnight, Olivia Crepin-LeBlanc, Laura Taylor, and Sean OGDG. On the Spanish channel, we have Fatima Cambronero and Alberto Soto. We have apologies from Tom Lowenhaupt, Jimmy Schultz, Hijani Benjama, and Mohamed El-Bashir. From staff, we have myself, Terry Agnew. Our Spanish interpreter today is Veronica. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name not only for transcription purposes, but also for our Spanish interpreter. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Terry. It's Olivier Crepin-LeBlanc speaking. And have we missed anyone during the roll call? It appears not. So we now have to adopt the agenda, and today we're going to have just a quick reminder of the next ICG call, and then we will be looking at the work that has taken place in the other operational communities, very short amount of time spent on that. And the bulk of our call today will deal with the IANA Community Working Group face-to-face meeting that took place in Frankfurt last week. And we will be looking, I should be asking the different people that participated and that were there on the ground about their impressions and going through the current drafts that we now have that will be shared very soon. I think there's a public comment period that will start soon. And then looking at the main product, the main delivery of this meeting, and that's the resulting flowchart of several groups that will be created. We'll go through those, and then, of course, we'll have, I think, in total about an hour to discuss where we are going from here and what's happening next. Are there any additions to the agenda at this stage? Seeing no one put their hand up, let's go first to our action items from our last call. That was on the 17th of November, and all action items are complete. They are all here. We've got the link to the regional internet registry and also the link to the CRISP process, which is the inter-registrar discussions. We'll probably have a quick roundup of this in a moment. And the rest of it is all about Terry having to advise the working group when the recording and transcripts are available, etc. And I'd like to thank Terry for all of the work she has done in preparing us for this face-to-face meeting in Frankfurt. We had all the required documentation at hand. That was very helpful indeed. So now we have the next part of our agenda, and that's the review of the ICG, the IANA Coordination Group activities, with Jean-Jacques Subrena and Mohamed El-Bashir not on the call today, or at least I haven't heard Jean-Jacques' name being mentioned. I know Mohamed is unable to attend as well. All I can let you know is there hasn't been very much going on. Looking at the calendar of calls, you've got the two links here. There is an announcement of more IANA coordination group calls. There was a call that took place last week that was private, primarily with the selection of their secretariat function. As for the call number 8, which is taking place in 2 days' time, the agenda itself for the call doesn't appear to be showing any updates so far. I wonder if anyone has an insight as to what will be discussed at that call. And thank you, Terry, for providing us with a link to the blank IANA Community Working Group Meeting 9. That's the ICG. Oh, okay. That was the IANA one. Okay. Of course, that's our next call that we will be having, the cross-community working group. But no news on the ICG call either. Oh, I see Alan Greenberg. Alan, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you, Olivia. It's Alan Greenberg speaking. The norm has been virtually nothing is posted about these meetings until often after the fact. That's not particularly satisfactory, but it's not surprising right now. I mean, we've also seen that calls are announced a relatively short amount of time before and, you know, without even being on the wiki. Now at least they're scheduled. They're showing the times on the wiki, but they're still somewhat lax as far as I can tell. And it perhaps that's something we want to ask our representatives to pass on to the ICG management.
Okay, thank you for this.
Since one of our representatives is management, that should be easy.
Yep. Thanks for this comment, Alan. It's Olivier speaking, and of course, I guess I'm also guilty of the same problem, having only updated today's call agenda, just a few hours ago, and having made a blatant mistake here on that link, on that agenda item, since I've been linking to the called the next IANA coordination group call page. In fact, that links it up over to our next cross. Next community working group page. So apologies for this, and I'll amend this at the end of this call. Are there any other insights as to what the ICG will be discussing? None. So I think what we might have to ask, let's take it as an action item, if we can ask our two representatives on the ICG to let us know by email what the topic of the next ICG call will be, that will be very helpful. And let's assign this to me, and I'll just drop them a note afterwards, carbon copying the mailing list so as to find out what they are going to be speaking about. Let's go to the next part of our agenda, and that's number four, where we look at the work of the other operational community. And as you know, the RIRs on one side and the IETF are both working at having their part of the proposal brought forward. Are there any updates from the last time that we spoke regarding those operational communities? I saw at some point Fatima Cambronero. I'm not sure if you've put your hand down or... Fatima?
This is Fatima Cambronero for the record. Sorry, Olivier. But, you know, there is a delay with interpretation, so perhaps you have changed the topic. Sorry for that. It was just a brief comment regarding the previous topic and our representatives in the ICG. I do understand that they are overloaded when it comes to work and they have to participate in the coordination working group. Well, they were not able to participate in our last call, and they were not always were able to participate in our calls. So perhaps they can send us information for us to make decisions and for us to be able to defend our proposal at the time we need to present or submit the proposal. So perhaps that is my comment. So remind them that they can join the calls. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fatima, for this. It's Olivier speaking, and I believe that they are told to join the call, but of course, they're, as you said, they are busy as well with other things. I will let them know, and I will find out also if they have reviewed the discussions that have taken place in Frankfurt. I think it's absolutely vital that they keep a close track of this, because they will not be able to defend any of the points that will have been made if they're not aware of what led to those points. And certainly I can see some other ICG members that are using their position on the ICG as a way to push a specific agenda, and we need to be aware of that. So thank you for this, Fatima. Next is Alberto Soto.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you very much, Olivier. When it comes to the mailing list from the rears, there was no activity. I know everybody is working. The only information we have is information from AfriNIC. I have circulated that information on the list. I don't know if it is worth commenting on that. I know that most of you have already read that information. It is quite extensive. The only comment I would like to make about that survey, the AfriNIC survey, is the following. They say that ICANN should continue as it is now with the IANA functions. Well, yes, that is a 60% in favor of the positive answer. And the fact of keeping the IANA function as a single operator goes down very significantly. 50% say no, and 20% yes. And abstentions are 23. I would say that is the idea is to have one technical operator. Perhaps we need to review that survey, or we need to pay attention to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Alberto. It's Olivier speaking. Very good points, and we will look forward to hearing further results. Maybe one of the things we need to do is to, now that we see the survey responses, that we need to make a link over to that survey on our own documents page, and perhaps spend some time during the next call to have a closer look at the survey results. I must admit I haven't looked at it yet. Let's do this as an action item then. Let's link this survey to our document sources and also spend some time on it next week, unless anybody thinks otherwise. Okay, so that's one thing. Any other updates on the other operational communities? I don't see anyone putting their hands up. Now, it's Olivia speaking. As far as the IETF is concerned, there is an internet draft that has been published now. It's called Draft IETF IANA Plan ICG Response 4. I will put this in the, so IETF or draft, I'll put this in the chat, and I think for this one as well, we will have to be looking at this and linking it over to our information sources. Again, I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to read through this. It looks as though this draft has collected a lot of positive response. So far with only minor changes being affected. So that looks like the kind of response that will be received by the from the IETF. And of course, it's worth for our members of our own operational community on the naming issues to look at the kind of response that others are making. Because there might be points that we might need to either align or take from or learn from or even be aware of prior to submitting a response. Shauna Jadeji, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. This is Shauna Jadeji for the record. I just wanted to mention about the AFNIC. It just occurred to me now that should mention this. There's going to be the discussion on IANA transition with the AFNIC community on Thursday. So it may be something that some of us may want to join and participate remotely on. Just a piece of information. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for this, Sean. We'll note that as well, and thank you for sending the AFRINIC submission input on this, also on there. So these are three links now that we need to add to our document store, please. And really, what we need to spend the most time on is going to be our own response, and I suggest then that we now move to agenda item number 5, the review of the face-to-face meeting that took place in Frankfurt That's the Community Working Group on the Naming Issues. You will see on the agenda links to both the overall meeting space, but also links to specific points in the agenda on day one and day two. Below that, there is also, for reference, a link to the page that is supposed to be holding the current drafts. And unfortunately, that page hasn't been updated since November the 20th and does not have the latest drafts, and I'm sorry about this, but that's outside of our hands. What I have done, though, is to upload one of the deliverables, the resulting flowchart of the various groups that need to be either created or all already in place, or it's all a little bit unknown in the way whether they will be created or not. So what I would suggest then is that we first go through the agendas chronologically and start with the work that we did on the principles and on the RFP 1, 2A, and 2B, bearing in mind we might not have the latest documents on that. Are there any suggestions? Are you okay with that? Sean Ojedeji, go ahead. You have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. Sean Ojedeji for the record. I think RFP 1 through 2 are pretty informational, and they are pretty something we could actually at any point in time discuss. They are actually references to things that are existing. So I think in order to actually maximize that time, I would suggest to you to the chair to perhaps you should just brief through that and then go into RFP 3, which is the most important. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Sean. Any other thoughts? I see agreement from Gordon Chilcott. And I gather that since no one else is speaking out, then that's absolutely fine. That's a good point, Sean. And so what I suggest is as soon as we receive a final copy of the the principles, the RFP 1, 2A, and 2B, and I believe 2C as well. 2C is the triage. It's just very contractual. It looks at the different parts of the contract, the INA contract, and it says, well, this has to be changed, that has to be changed. This is specific to NTIA and et cetera, et cetera. Three technical things, and indeed, you're quite correct. We will just send it over to our mailing list and obtain comments on those if there are any comments. Let's go straight into RFP 3. And RFP 3, if you recall from last week, started out with a flowchart, not a flowchart, sorry, a table of three different strawman proposals, which the whole group started working on. Went only through, I think, a couple of the items on the strawman, including also adding strawman number 4. And the way I understood it is that it took so much time to do so, the group then, under the auspices of the co-chairs, decided to move forward and actually building what the requirements of the functions were. How they would be assumed one way or other. But what I'll do is to call upon my colleagues who were in Frankfurt to provide us some details of this. The first RFP slot was from 1400 to 1540 on the first day, on the Wednesday, and indeed we went through the strawman. Let me just ask my colleagues who were in Los Angeles, in Frankfurt, what their feedback was on that and whether their understanding is similar as mine. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Just a quick comment. supposedly tomorrow a complete first draft RFP is not RFP, but response is coming out, which should integrate the various parts of the RFP document. So if anyone's going to spend a substantive amount of time looking at them, they may well want to wait till tomorrow and look at the revised versions instead of what's available right now, because there were changes to some of the parts as we went through them. And I think that is supposed to be out tomorrow. In terms of the process we went through, yes, we started off looking at the some of the specific items. If you look at the table that was the matrix that was generated for RFP 3, there were, ended up with Avery's addition, five different versions of structures, essentially, structures and or mechanisms, and many, many lines. The intent was that one could mix and match different entries from different columns to end up with the final result. And we started doing that on a couple of the lines, and that took so much time that we essentially scrapped the idea of going ahead like that and just started putting together what a couple of vocal people, you know, thought was the right way to go. I certainly was quite dissatisfied with that, because I think it eliminated some of the possible options that certainly at large in the survey that Olivier did just before the meeting would have preferred, and specifically to not have a physical oversight body over ICANN awarding the contract, but have mechanisms within ICANN to make sure that ICANN adhered to what the community wanted in IANA. That's a somewhat different mechanism from the threat of taking it away. And to be candid, I think whenever alternative suggestions were raised, and they were periodically, the meeting really didn't focus a lot on them. I won't say there wasn't any discussion, but there certainly wasn't very much. And as a result, I, for one, am not happy with the outcome. I think the proposal satisfies a number of very vocal people, at least partially, but I think has some gotchas in it, has some problems in it, which I think are going to be very difficult to resolve and potentially harmful in the long run. And I won't go into it in any detail right now. I will be posting something once the formal proposal is out, hopefully tomorrow, and we can carry on from there. Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you very much.
Unless you want me to go into any more detail, that's where I'll leave it right now.
Thank you very much for this, Alan. And you started fading away a little bit. I don't know whether it was my line or yours, but you sounded a bit far away.
I've got a new headset last week or so. If I start fading away, call me on it, because I may not be knowing how to use it quite properly yet.
Okay. Right. Thank you, Alan. So, Olivier speaking, and indeed, yes, I put the link to the page that we as in the five at-large representatives that were there present in Frankfurt, were working out of, and therefore it was helpful for us to be able to base our positions on the feedback that we had received. But it looked as though many of the other representatives that were there had not had any kind of feedback from their community and were just expressing personal opinions. And it's certainly, exactly as you said, Alan, looked as though the speed of progress was such that very quickly we were pulled away from this. I thought that there had been one point that had been made, which was that the IANA functions themselves would not be taken out of ICANN and put into an entirely independent organization. And I felt that the going through one line by line and coloring the boxes red or amber or yellow, actually, or green, would have favored the closing of at least a few points so that we would have been able to make progress. When I tweeted on the, just for the story, when I tweeted on one of the points as the box being red, and so IANA functions being totally separated from ICANN and run completely separately as being not a valid answer. I was then scolded for having put pressure on this because consensus had not been achieved, and that certainly was not my understanding. When you start making a decision with the actual participants of the mailing, participants of the working group face-to-face, my belief is that the participants have the ability to speak on behalf of their communities, and this wasn't made clear at all. I have a real concern that if each time participants now have to go back, and I'm not saying here, sorry, not even participants, what did I say, members of the working group have to go back to their communities before they can accept anything at all, we're going to be in a position where the clock will tick and we'll run out of time. That's my personal feeling on that. Fatima Cambronero is next.
This is Fatima speaking. Thank you very much, Olivier. I want to make some generic comments in line with Alan's comment, and that is my personal opinion, and perhaps I might be wrong with that. From my point of view, as Alan said, we're not able to analyze all the options that we had on the chart that was shared with the Stroman proposal. There was a specific point during the first day regarding the IANA operator, and the option of having an independent entity was eliminated. And then, while we were moving forward, we were stuck debating on the option of having a contracting entity. And at the end of the day, well, this was somehow contradicted. And other consequences were not analyzed, for example, something that we have already said before and we had already expressed on the list, that was to take into account the legal aspects and the jurisdiction, and the duration of the contract was not even taken into account, or it was not analyzed. I think that now that topic is being analyzed and discussed on the list regarding the separability and the duration of the contract. But from my point of view, that is not clear. We were not able to discuss that in depth. And now we have these discussions regarding the existence of consensus or the lack of consensus in certain topics that we had or we discussed in our face-to-face meeting. Well, so I wonder why we were talking or why we were discussing if now we have no agreement and now we're going to modify everything from scratch, taking into account what it is being said on the list. Some of the topics that came up were the following. In the statements being made, we're talking about a draft. There seems to be a final draft, and it seems to be that based on that, we will have to take that to our community to obtain feedback. Well, I personally, I don't feel personally comfortable with that because we're not able to analyze all the consequences and results of the options. I will stop here, and then if you want, I can go on with details. Thank you.
And I was muted, of course. Thank you very much, Fatima. It's Olivier speaking. Next is Shona Jadeji.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Shona Jadeji for the record. Fatima, thank you very much for that comment. I also like to thank Alan also for his very fair response of how the Frankfurt meeting went. I think these are my personal opinions about the meeting. Yes, when we started the straw man, there was a sense in the room that it was kind of taking some time, and then we decided to go the feature route, which at that point I personally thought it was a good idea, especially in order to be able to eliminate and see the things that can be done by mechanism and the things that can be done cannot be done by mechanism. That was one of the intents I thought we were having by actually trying to bring out the features. Unfortunately, that took so long, and we didn't realize, on the next day we started, the chair started us up in the manner of now creating a proposal. And at that point, I think we, the ATLAD members, should have met or have quickly have an emergency discussion, especially if we had known that that was going to be a talk that would start from the beginning to the end of the day. But of course, nobody would have predicted that. I was thinking we were actually trying to use, when we started off the second day, with those four categories of committees, I thought we were actually trying to set up an option of a solution from the features that we've listed previously. And I was expecting that we'll finish that and quickly go to another scenario. And I think at the time that it was already getting close, I recall that even at noon, during one of the sessions, I remember raising, we were discussing on chat with the ATLAD members, and we were discussing our views. I think at that point in time, perhaps they have actually insisted that we need to stop this contracting option that we're looking at and actually look at other options. Some of the feedback I was getting after the meeting was that none of us actually made a point. None of us actually made our points clear and so on and so forth. I think the Frankfurt meeting was a well played game by some of the actors in that team, and I think we just we fell for that, and I think we should learn from that. My summary of the outcome of that meeting was, yes, it was a good meeting. It helped us to create enough content, but it has not actually created any proposal. And if it finally creates a proposal tomorrow, that will just be an option. There should be other ways to go around this, and one of the ways is what Alan has suggested. And I think it's something, if it means that at large, we then need to think around that and formalize that, then I think we should go ahead and do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sean, for this feedback from you on those days in Frankfurt. Just to share with you also my feeling of the move from going through the straw man to actually then working on this contracting proposal. I must say, I think I must have been guilty of misreading this as thinking that the group was going to be looking at what the attributes were of the different groups that were needed there, and then decide on whether these, if it was contracted, if these could be done in any other way, and where these would be located. I felt that the requirement for having a face-to-face meeting comes down to dealing with the hardest points, and the hardest points were, one, what were these different groups going to have to do in the absence of IANA being involved in the loop, and two, how that was going to be done, and in other words, what jurisdiction this was going to be under, and whether these would remain in ICANN or not remain in ICANN, or how they would be constituted, etc. And that was going to constitute a proposal. I totally agree with Sean that what we now have is something that is, we've got some material, but it certainly doesn't look like a proposal, and I'm particularly concerned about that. There is the RFP-4, which is supposed to work for the next 48 hours and have some progress on this to make a proposal out of the work of RFP 1, 2, 3, and so on. And I'm not quite sure whether there is an update on this. I'm not on that working group, so I don't know what has been going on in RFP-4. If any of you are on RFP-4, it would be good to have feedback on that. Obviously, time is of the essence for this, since everything has to be given out in the next 24 hours or so. Shona Jadeji.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Sean for the record. So I am a member of the RFP4, and what I can say about that group is that it has only been able to select, that was all at the face-to-face actually, to select the repertoire and the assistant. The RFP4 at the moment is on halt indirectly. It's currently stagnant because what it needs to do is work is actually measured on the documents from RFP3, largely on RFP3. And since there is no bearing at the moment for RFP3, it becomes a difficult issue to actually work on anything on RFP4. However, I think there was a bill that was sent. I'm trying to filter now. There was a mail that was sent that there's going to be a call, a meeting or something of RFP4. Maybe it's to kind of see what is going to be happening. So it was, Grace indicated that it was going to send a schedule for us to meet tomorrow. That's Tuesday, 1300 UTC. That's the time for it. She hasn't sent the formal information yet, but I expect that maybe after that meeting, we may have something valid to discuss about. But again, most of our work on RFP4 really depend on the outcome of RFP3, which is currently pending. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Sean. Olivier speaking, and Fatima has put in the chat that the RFP4 call will be between 1300 and 1430 UTC tomorrow, Tuesday the 25th of November. You're quite correct that we haven't got the... Well, I have not received the latest copies of the documents for RFP3, so I'm not really sure where we are going. What I was going to suggest is that we go through the flow chart that is one of the main deliverables that has come out of this meeting in Frankfurt and let our colleagues on the call ask questions or we can discuss the flow chart with us. One of the things we need to do, obviously, is to provide our feedback. And I think that whilst there was feedback that was provided on the processes themselves, which were given in the flowchart, the big question is to do with the actual entities themselves, the points that were before that, characteristics of entities, as they're called. Terry has very kindly put the link in the chat. For this flowchart, are you all okay, by the way, with going to this flowchart, or do you? Are there any other points that you'd like to speak about or discuss before we go to the flowchart? I see agreement from Sean. I don't see much response from anyone else, so I gather you are all okay with this. So let's have a look at the. the flowchart itself. Would it be possible to have this on the share this on the Adobe, please, Terry?
Yes, let me see if I can get that up, Olivier.
Because then I can point to it with the green arrow. I'd like to be able to share that with everyone.
Certainly it's a small struggle, but I am working on it.
As it doesn't become a major struggle, that's okay. So as you'll note, there are six pages to this the document. When I asked the question as to where this was going to go, it was unsure whether this document was going to be in an appendix or as the main part of the proposal, or whether this is a working document in the meantime. The first page looks at the characteristics of the entity. The second page looks at the main function of each one of these entities. And then the pages 3 to 6 look at the operational, various, they're not even case scenarios, but I guess various actions which take place. And they go into some detail. And on one hand, I could see the worthiness of this, of the detail and so on, obviously to clear up any misunderstandings, and it's helpful to see those. On the other hand, I was particularly concerned. We spent so much time on this. This flowchart is a resulting work of the work that we had done by making big, long lists of what the different things, the different functions needed to be, and staff worked with the chairs to build this. It's impressive. It looks good, and it's certainly helpful, and we'll go through that in a second. We've got the operational review. We've got the periodic INA performance review. We've got the entering into a contract transition part, and then we've got the contracting post-transition. These are all drafts and are all likely to change with time. So we first start with the characteristics of the entities. And on this, what you can see is there are really four entities as such that are listed here. One is the INA Customer Standing Committee, and that's a small committee that remains in place all the time that would be consisting only of the INA customers. So we're dealing here with the registries and the IETF and the RIRs, and that's an operational thing. It would be responsible for operational review of the transactions and for the performance review. So far, the way that things are done is that the INA produces such reports on a monthly basis, and it just looks at whether the response rate was fast, et cetera, et cetera. It's very operational, very technical, and it was felt, I think, by certainly myself, but I'll let my colleagues speak about this, that this was not something that end users would wish to be directly involved with, the daily running of the INA activities and the daily monitoring of INA's functions. Sean, you put your hand up. Sean Ojedeji, you have the floor.
Yeah, this is Sean for the record. Thank you, Olivier. I think there's something about item, that is the INA Customer Standing Committee. I hear you mention CF, operational communities. I don't think, because once we are taking IETF or IIRs, I think that means we are referring to this INA customer as if we are dealing with the entire INA functions. I think I asked the question during the meeting because it was not clear why we needed this INA Customer Standing Committee. Because actually the review of INA operation is actually getting done by those who are interested. So I didn't need to have this standing for me to formalize in the first place. Because just like you said, the reports of IANA makes reports often, logically as required or as defined in the contract, and anybody can have access to it. I think one of the most important things is that the data should be transparently available to anybody to make use of. And this is one of the things that was raised during the Frankfurt meeting. One of the responses that the chairs made was that it's going to be a floating committee. I don't know what you mean by that. Perhaps if any of us who was at Frankfurt understood what that floating committee means, perhaps we could get some more clarification. But my personal view was that there was no need to work on this committee. And I also observed that even the CCs were also of the same opinion. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this. Sean, it's Olivier speaking. And of course, I should have said, all I'm doing is to provide details of each one of the committees. I'm not saying I want this, obviously, but that's what's on the draft at the moment. And you made some very valid points there. Are there any other comments on this, actually, maybe from colleagues who were in Frankfurt or even others who were not in Frankfurt here? Any responses on an IANA customer standing committee? I don't see anyone putting their hand up at the moment. It's Olivier speaking. My own comment on this is that it's interesting to see we're looking here at creating committees, and this really was a working group of the IANA naming issues part of IANA NTIA stewardship transition topic, and yet this one, I'm not sure whether this would work only for the naming issues or would it be a customer committee for all of the different functions. Certainly from its name, it looks as though this would be for all of them. And I'm not quite sure how that would fit with the others and whether others would be open to something like this. The other operational committees are open to something like this. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I don't think we really considered that. This group, if I remember correctly, would have some influence on, changing what's going on. The other groups, I think, are looking at doing that on an ongoing basis without having, a formal committee as such. So I'm guessing it could be merged in with something they may be doing, but I don't think we do. I don't think we thought of it from that perspective at all. As a matter of fact, the whole proposal we're talking about is potentially so radically different from what the others are proposing that I'm not sure the ICG is going to have a particularly easy time merging them all together. But I don't think we were looking at that issue at all in our time there. Certainly not. I don't recall us considering that much.
Thank you for this, Alan. Any other comments? And one of the questions which we have asked, it's Olivier speaking, one of the questions we have asked is whether this customer standing committee would be a separate organization. Would it be part of ICANN? Would it be under what jurisdiction, et cetera? And I'm not sure I have heard any feedback on this one, specifically on the standing committee. Alan or Fatima or others, Sean, you... Are you aware by any chance of whether there is an answer to this? And Fatima, you ask who are the IANA customers. I think when they mentioned IANA customers, this is referred to as being the operational customers, i.e., in other words, the IETF, the RIRs, and ICANN. Sean or Jadeji, you have the floor.
Yeah, Olivier. So are those really the people they were referring to by IANA customers, the IETF, or they're just referring to the GTLD and the CCTLD customers. Because the way that was the understanding I had when they were saying, when we were talking about IANA Customer Standing Committee, I thought they were referring to the GTLD and the CCTLD customers. However, I think this, like I said, this role does not need to be formalized per se, because this is one of the things that all members of the community is doing. Even the at-large, to some extent, does this in checking as long as the access for the information is there, there's really no big deal. There's no rocket science in it. It's easy to see when IANA is actually going wrong on certain issues. I agree there are technical things. There are definitely technical aspects of it. Really don't need to be, Atlas does not really need to be involved in all these things. But Atlas needs to ensure that the source of data is accessible. So in case we need to do our own independent checks and so on and so forth. And that is what I think IANA normally does in providing reports on their website and so on and so forth. So I think the IANA Customer Standing Committee that is referred to here, to my own understanding, seems to be CCs and GTLDs alone. Otherwise, I wouldn't understand the basis by which we're talking about ATF and the IRS in this situation, since we're supposed to be developing a proposal just for the names. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Sean. Olivier speaking, and I certainly also saw in the chat the customers for the naming part is not ICANN, it would be the registries directly. And you're absolutely correct, yes. Next is Anne Greenberg.
Sorry, that was an old hand.
Thank you, Alan. Next is Fatima Campanero.
Thank you very much, Olivier. This is Fatima for the record. My question is who these IANA customers are, because I personally don't have clear in my mind the composition of the committee, and some other comments that I said before that I am not remembering now, but the composition should be clearly defined, because we ourselves are having different opinions regarding who these customers are. And if this has to be operational, well, I imagine everybody arguing regarding the composition of the committee, because everybody will feel that they have the right to be a customer of the IANA. So, what you said before is also important regarding, and this was not defined, in fact, if this is going to be a separate committee, or if it is going to be a division, or if it's going to be within ICANN, and who the members will be. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Fatima. Next is Alan Greenberg, hopefully with an answer to your question.
Thank you very much. It's Alan speaking. I don't think there's really any question, certainly among the people, most of the people who were at the meeting last week, that the customers from our perspective are the GTLD and CCTLD registries. They're the ones that for which IANA handles redelegations. They're the ones that IANA puts, you know, makes changes in the root zone for. So I don't think there's any question that direct customers are the ones who initiate requests that end up on IANA's desk and that IANA has to carry out. How one decides which ones are going to be on this representative committee, or if it's a committee of the whole with 1,000 people on it, or 2,000 people, I don't know. But I'm presuming a representative, not the entire body. But I don't think there's any question in the minds of the people talking about it last week that we were talking about the GTLD and CCTLD registries.
Thank you for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And there's a question from Yasuchi Kitamura in the chat. What about IETF? Would these be the operational communities? And certainly for, on the definition of what the how the ICG defines the operational communities of the customers and so on, the IETF would be, I would say, one of them. But here, in that respect, did you think that the IETF was going to be included in this as well?
If you're asking me, Olivier, I don't think we considered it. Now, let's play through a scenario. All of this is implemented. It's implemented roughly, from the name's perspective anyway, roughly the way it was imagined by the majority of the group last week. The GTLD and CCTLD registries are exceedingly unhappy with IANA and want to have an RFP issued and are inclined to move it away from the current IANA operation. The IETF, for instance, or the RARs, are exceedingly happy and see no reason for a disruption. How does one go forward at that point? Do we, as we have talked about on occasion, separate the parts of IANA and say they could be executed by different organizations? That's something, to a large extent, we have said we really don't want to do. But it might be one of the results of the kind of process that we're looking at right now. So either the user committee, the direct customers of IANA, are everyone, that includes the RARs and IETF, and somehow we come up with a way of making sure that they make a single decision, and how you weight their various votes I wouldn't even try to guess. Or we accept the possibility that IANA could be split into three different groups, each handling the different, quote, customer base. Conceivably, and I don't know how that would work, maybe you could even split CCTLDs and GTLDs, although they're both working on a common root zone, so that's far less likely to happen.
Thanks
so
for this.
The bottom line is I don't know how it would work. And as I said earlier, I think we're setting ourselves up for something which may be very difficult to implement.
Hey, thanks for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And there was chat in, going on the Adobe as to direct customers rather than just generic end users is what is meant here by the customers of IANA. And yes, indeed, that would not have any end user intervention whatsoever, as it's currently described on the diagram. I would suggest going to the next point on that page. Oh, Alan, you put your hand up again.
Yeah, just for clarity, I carry things a bit too far. The user committee, the end user, whatever it's called, the standing committee, is not the body that would decide to issue the RFP. That we're talking about is a true multi-stakeholder committee.
And we'll be coming to that in a moment.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying I was. But it's not clear. This committee, I think, was designed to be more operational, and call IANA on problems, not necessarily pull the contract. But nevertheless, there are still problems if the other operational communities are not included in this. But I did go too far when I was describing reassigning the contract. That's not their prime mandate.
Okay. Thanks for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. So the IANA Customer Standing Committee, as I understand it, will just look at the performance of IANA's response when they make requests and things, that they have to wait 4 days to change something in the route. Of course, they'll raise a flag, and we'll see that later on in the flowcharts that follow in the next pages. Now, the next entity And we use the name entity rather than body because, again, one doesn't know whether this is within ICANN, outside of ICANN, a subsidiary, a brand new body of some sort, or just a committee. The next entity is a, I am a periodic review team. That would be multi-stakeholder team that would either be formed on an ad hoc basis or periodically. And in fact, it says here periodically, for example, every 5 years. And that would be doing a full performance review. And it would also be the path of escalation for the IANA customer committee. So if the IANA customer standing committee found there was something wrong, and let's say the IANA provides update of the root zone in 10 days rather than 10 minutes, at that point, the problem is escalated right away to the review team. And that's a multi-stakeholder team, as it's shown here. Are there any comments or questions on this? I don't see anyone putting their hand up on this one. So now the next one on this page is the Independent Appeals Panel for Policy Implementation. So that's another group. That obviously is going to be some independent organization. It's not going to be within ICANN, and it seems to be as designed as an independent, the way to binding policy implementation appeals mechanism, there we are, which would have some kind of arbitration taking on. And the arbitration rules would be those of international law, for example, the International Chamber of Commerce. It would be put together as selection of, I think it's two people, totally independent from INI, independent from everyone, just lawyers, plus a third one that would be selected by these two, and that would be making decisions on whether the policy that was defined by ICANN was being followed by IANA itself. Alan Greenberg, you might wish to add to this, obviously. Alan?
Yeah, thank you very much, Olivier. It's Alan speaking. This is part of the overall proposal that I support strongly. I talked a fair amount to one of the GAC representatives who was pushing for this particularly, although she wasn't the only one. There were the CCTLDs also have some worry that if NTIA is no longer in the picture, there is nobody to go to essentially to try to override a decision, and particularly a redelegation type decision. And but even with NTIA in the picture, this would be a useful type of function, and they're talking about a completely standard dispute process, you know, using something like the International Chamber of Commerce, and the way that this kind of arbitrations often work is each there's a list of knowledgeable arbitrators that are made available. Typically, each of the parties selects one, and then the ICC selects a third one. The case proceeds from there. So it's a completely standard process. It's used all over the world, in other venues, and with a group like the ICC, it's respected in an international venue. So I think this is one of the good ideas that's come out of this whole process. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And I have a question to you on this because I couldn't quite understand how this selection process would work. You mentioned, and I said it also, each of the parties would be selecting an arbitrator, and they, presumably if it was the ICC, then the ICC would be selecting a third arbitrator. But what are we seeing as being each of the parties? When the function of this panel is to look as to whether IANA is following agreed policy relating to IANA's action is consistent with agreed policy relating to IANA, does this mean that ICANN would be selecting one of the arbitrators and IANA would be selecting another one?
I'm presuming that if .ca is redelegated and the old .ca feels that this was done inappropriately, not following ICANN policy, then the old .ca would open a dispute, and defending it would be, I'm guessing, IANA, since IANA essentially is the group that does the due diligence on a redelegation. They do it according to policy that ICANN sets, and ICANN acts as the postman, as it were, you know, presenting the case to IANA, but IANA is the one that is supposed to satisfy itself that the redelegation process has been duly followed. So I'm presuming the two sides in the party would be the CCTLD that was unhappy, or GTLD, and IANA.
And IANA themselves, okay.
I'm
Thank
guessing
you.
So.
Thanks for this decision. Olivier speaking. Next we have Fatima Campanero.
This is Fatima Cambronero. Thank you very much, Olivier. I have a question regarding this topic we are discussing. In the last part of the chart, it reads that this appeals mechanism has to ensure independence and avoid conflicts of interest, and there is a link to the accountability working group. So my question is, who has legitimacy to make the appeal? Perhaps we are devoting too much time to this, but we need to take into account the relationship with the accountability working group. We see that this is being discussed on the list, that is to say the relationship, how we should work. Perhaps we have to leave the topic open in our working group to be discussed by the accountability working group, or perhaps we should prioritize or give priority to certain topics in our working group. So my question would be, who has the legitimacy to make the appeal in this case? And this has to do with your question, Olivier. Now, when it comes to Alan's comments, well, we need to be clear, or we need to have clear in our minds who will be the person or who will be able to submit an appeal. This was not clear. This is not clear on the document. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Fatima. It's Olivier speaking. And in fact, in brackets, in square brackets, you can see binding appeals process available to parties that are affected or impacted. And I think that's at the moment undecided. So who has standing to appeal is undecided so far. At least that's my understanding from the square bracket.
Olivier, it's Alan.
Yes, Alan, please go ahead. I'm trying to go back to the wider screen. Go ahead, Alan.
I think what we have done in this case is we've identified a need. We have not tried to flesh it out. It is an accountability issue, and it needs to be fleshed out more by that group. But we're essentially saying this is, we believe that this is a mandatory part of the of a final process. Now, who has standing? I'm assuming, you know, without trying to define it very carefully, in general, who has standing to appeal? Someone who's not happy with the outcome. It's hard to imagine who that might be or specify right now. It could be the CCTLD that has the operational entity that has lost it in a redelegation. It could be the local internet community who feels they were not consulted in a process. You know, there's a lot of parties who get in. It could be the government who feels that, you know, they believe that so-and-so should be running this, the CCTLD, and that is not what IANA ended up. So I'm presuming it's not our job, the IANA Stewardship Transition, to write the detailed rules. but I am presuming that it will be anyone who, in a redelegation or other IANA action, feels that, that it has not been done properly. Conceivably, this, you know, maybe this group could, this process would also be used if the IETF feels that an RFP is not being honored properly by IANA. I don't know. I hope, I'd like to think those would be handled on a more operational level, but should they not be able to agree, maybe this process could be used there as well.
Thank you, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And so looking at this, would you say that end users could be seen as being parties that are affected or impacted?
Well, end users are certainly part of the Internet community in a country, and the Internet community in a country is a very significant part of a redelegation process. And Cheryl, I'm sure, can speak to that far better than I can, and her hand is up. But yes, in certain aspects, I would certainly believe Internet users are a part of the thing. They're not necessarily the whole of the question.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Next is Sean Ojedeji. And I see that Sean mentions he's lost connection. Are you still on?
Yeah, I'm back on now, Olivier. Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, so I kind of missed some part of the discussion, but I just came back up now. I agree with Alan. However, I want to be clear. I want to ask, because I've not been long that I've been involved with ICANN, so I'd like to get some clarification about a particular aspect. Of course, there must have been some unhappy people in the past, and even up to now. What is the process by which they actually do that at the moment? Is there no process at the moment? And will it be the first time we're having this kind of appeal process coming into formation? Is it that there's nothing like this in the past? How is it addressed? How are things like this addressed at the moment? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. It's Olivier speaking. And I know I can answer that, but I might even let Cheryl answer this question because she was part of the first Accountability and Transparency Review team, and she'll be able to let us know what the appeals mechanism was in ICANN, and in addition to her intervention on the other points she wanted to make. Cheryl Langdonor, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I really was putting up my hand for the earlier intervention. There is in there, but I'll answer the second part first. The appeals mechanism for any number of matters, including delegation and redelegation, GTLD and CCTLD, is an area that is, I believe, even after the second accountability review team, still wanting to be improved. As it is at the moment, there are three, if not arguably four, layers of appeals mechanism, but they all lie within ICANN, the entity, and there has been a number of calls over the years, and I think it's something that ICANN is intending to address, that there is an appeals mechanism at the top of the tree, which is outside of self or accountable to beyond ICANN internally. Olivier, did you want to intervene on that a little bit more before I go back to what I wanted to say in the first place?
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. It's Olivier speaking. And indeed, as you mentioned, the main appeals mechanism for board decisions in ICANN is one where there is reconsideration of the board's decision, but only on the basis of whether the board has followed the bylaws in making its decision. So the decision itself is not reconsidered, and therefore many don't call this an appeals mechanism as such, and I think that the majority, if not all of the reconsideration requests that have been asked, the appeals that have been made have failed due to that. Alan, I note, has put his hand up just specifically for this.
Yeah,
Alan?
Go to Alan.
Sorry, am I on?
Yes, you are on.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't realize you had asked me. The reconsideration process is also for staff, not only board. And I would presume, although I don't know 100%, that IANA would be considered staff. They are technically employees of ICANN at this point. So I would think that reconsideration could be used in this particular case because, in general, what we're looking at in this appeals process is a mechanism by which someone can claim IANA did not follow policy. I mean, that's the grounds on which one could argue. It's not a matter of not liking the policy, it's a matter of not following the policy. So the board reconsideration might well be a vehicle which could be used, but the people who are pushing for this, and it's particularly governments and CCTLDs, I think feel strongly that there should be an outside of ICANN
external
process for this. So this may well be in addition to the board reconsideration, but very much they were looking for something outside of ICANN.
Thank you, Cheryl, for this add-in. Back to you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record again. And that's something that has been desired, flagged and looked for, certainly for the last 10 years of discussions on not just delegation, redelegation and on other issues, but on a number of the hypotheticals of what happens when people are not satisfied with an outcome. Now, to the point I was raising my hand about, Sean, what we're talking about when we're talking about internet community and the engagement of an internet community and the affected parties, specifically with IANA and specifically with the matters of delegation, and we're no longer going to be using the term redelegation in a future world. It's all a matter of delegations, and there's things that happen which allow the primary source of how these things are to be done goes to RFC 1591. So RFC 1591 is the mechanism by which delegations and redelegations, as they are currently labelled in RFC 1591. So that's your macro source, which of course predates ICANN, indeed predates IANA. So that's your gold standard, for the want of a better word, or perhaps your foundational document, which is probably a better description of how these things are to be done. In addition to RFC 1591, there is uniquely to ICANN, and whilst ICANN has managed the IANA functions, a set of GAC advice on some concerns, particular requirements and embellishments that is also used by IANA to establish a set of policy guidelines that is followed for the matters of what is currently termed delegation and redelegation. In addition to that, 5 years or so of many of our lives has been spent looking at what's called framework of interpretation. And the framework of interpretation looks at those two documents, primarily RFC 1591, and amongst a whole lot of other stuff to do with the policy of how this all works. What's in RFC 1591 called local internet community and affected parties has now been clearly redefined and qualified as significantly interested parties, and amongst quite a established list of exactly what those significantly interested parties in any community, any space are, be it specifically in a CCTLD world, but equally in a GTLD world, you do have the local internet community, but it goes far beyond that. And so at this point, I would suggest that looking at those community wrought and well debated points of exactly what RSC 1591 and the DAC advice means and how it can be interpreted should be plugged into this section of any debate. And I'll stop because I could go on for hours. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for this, Cheryl. It's Olivier speaking, and thank you for this explanation. And your personal point of view then is that we should be pushing for end users to be able, as a significantly impacted community?
Well, the significantly interested parties have to be. It is a critical, Cheryl, for the record, it is a critical part. It's a major point that was argued for and hotly contested onto the details over the last 5 years of the community reviewers within the framework of interpretation. And I think any model that doesn't have that will fail to be accepted by government and by what we, coming back to the term, the affected parties, or in our case, significant interest parties, are, and that includes, you know, everything from, you know, businesses to service providers.
Thank you for this, Cheryl, and it would definitely be helpful, and I know I've said that in the past, but it would definitely be helpful to have a link to the framework of interpretation.
Oh, yeah.
Latest documents. If, as a follow-up, you could, and I'm sorry, I didn't keep track of it. Has it finally been published now, or is it not published yet?
It has left the CCTLD community, and it has gone towards the board. It has not come back.
Okay, thank you for this, Cheryl. It's Olivia speaking. It would be definitely helpful to have a copy of that for us to read, if we are in a position to be able to have a copy of it.
Yeah, it's public, so you certainly are. And if it was other than 3:26 in the morning and I wasn't sitting up in bed with just my tablet in front of me, I would be sending you a link to just the section on significantly interested parties. But it is a document that is essential, as is RSC 1591 and the GAC advice, to be woven into all of this discussion at this point. Thank you. I shouldn't have come back with that introduction. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl. Next is Shona Jadeji.
Oh, thanks, Vanessa, to Terry. I think one more thing that perhaps is also important for this particular item is, and of course I also agree with Alan that may not necessarily be within our CWG limit. Maybe it's more of the accountability side is to define what does unhappy mean? When does it become something that can then go through the appraise process? At what point does it mean that anybody that is unhappy can just initiate the process and so on and so forth? These are all the things that perhaps need to be considered. I definitely, one of the things that was raised during the face-to-face meeting, the decision, this appeal panel, would they be kind of acting in order to become a decision-making or to actually provide recommendation? So if it's going to be a decision-making setup, then it needs to be very, as it has been indicated on the document, it needs to be very clear its composition and its how it handles requests. Needs to be very, very clear because it depends. We want to, as much as possible, avoid any misinterpretation from these panels. Having said that, I like I that I lost connectivity, and I'm actually surprised that we were quite fast in moving out, in moving from an periodic meeting to the next one. So it seems like because at the moment it looks like another periodic review team is going to be a very strong deciding factor in this particular draft. And I would really, really suggest that we kind of discuss that in details, especially this is where they are saying the multi-stakeholder thing will happen. It would be good to know if there's any practicality of this team, because as it is now, I really don't understand. I really don't see how this will be effectively carried out. Is it going to be within ICANN? From the understanding, it looks like it's going to be within ICANN. What's going to be the composition of it? What's going to be? Is there going to be, how is going to be the voices, are they going to be taken into consideration? These are the things that I think we should consider. And there was just a response from a question from Milton, Milton was asking about who renews the tender, is it the principal or the agent? And Guru just replied that is the decision of the periodic review team. That means that team is going to be a very strong team, and it means that's not. In fact, as a matter of fact, it's going to be the equivalent of NTI. So we kind of need to discuss more on that and know whether it is actually something. We're actually not creating another monster that we may need to have issues with in dealing with in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. It's Olivier speaking, and I realize we are reaching the end of this call, so I'll ask for another 5 minutes to just clear the queue. Fatima Cambronero is next.
This is Fatima for the record. Thank you very much, Olivier. I have a concrete question for Cheryl. And to clarify in my mind, if I understand this correctly, my question is, if we accept these appeals independent panel for the implementation of policies as a part of the final proposal being submitted to the coordination group, would this imply that we need to revise any amendment to the ICANN bylaws, or does this affect ICANN bylaws or not? Can we accept this panel and continue with our bylaws as it is? And since we're going to finish with the call, I would like to add two comments. I think that we need another call to debate and discuss the remaining topics, because there are many topics pending that we need to discuss among ourselves, particularly to reach to an ALAC position. And I am a bit concerned because we have many gaps, and we have certain points that, from my point of view, should be very clear and drafted in a very clear way so that no doubt may come up, because this is something very important, as you all know. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Fatima. I equally am concerned about how little time we have, and we are at the end of this call already. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. A couple of answers to the best of my knowledge anyway. I think Sean is correct that we didn't talk about the review team sufficiently, and because that's going to be a rather crucial body. So that should be on an agenda for a future meeting. With regards to whether the arbitration or, you know, whoever, whatever the entity is, makes recommendations or decisions, normally the process going into a process like that, or normally the rules going into a process like that, are that both parties agree to abide by the outcome. Sometimes there's an opportunity for taking it to court, in a national venue. But in this kind of venue, I would think that the bodies would have to agree to abide by the outcome. Whether that, to address Fatima's comment, whether that needs bylaw changes, I don't know. Because if IANA is run by ICANN, then maybe ICANN needs to change its bylaws, saying it's willing to abide by these outcomes, or maybe that's just a board decision. I really don't know, and I'm not sure we need to worry at that level. But essentially, you do have to agree going into it that you're going to abide by the outcome. That's the basis on which these kind of processes work at all. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Salim. It's Olivier speaking, and Fatima reminds me, of course, that she asked a question to Cheryl. I thought I'd give you Cheryl some time. Cheryl, are you able to answer Fatima's question on...
I am. It saves me... Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. It saves me frantically typing, which is what I was doing before you ended the call, and I can speak faster than I can type. I was going to answer in chat, Fatima. The answer is actually yes and no to that, whether or not it requires a bylaw change. This endorses what Alan was alluding to as well, and I believe it would possibly be stronger if the answer was yes and the bylaw change was an outcome, because if the IANA operations are maintained as a subunit or a wholly owned subsidiary or whatever the model is not so important, but within ICANN, for an appeals mechanism that is desired by the beyond ICANN community and has been demonstrated as required or desired by the beyond ICANN community, as well as in some cases significant parts of the ICANN community, is to have the trust associated with it. It would need the higher level of authority, in inverted commas, that I suspect a bylaw change would require. And that is not a problem. There is a process. It isn't particularly fast. It takes somewhere between, 5 to sometimes up to 12 months, but it can be done. And there could be interim guarantees and documentation whilst it is being done, which would engender the trust that is required. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Cheryl. Finally, we have Sean Ojedeji.
Thank you, Olivier. So, one of my major comments, because the time is almost exhausted now, I think we have, for this meeting, we've been able to adequately provide feedback to those who were not at Frankfurt. However, I'm concerned that we've not actually been able to arrive at certain positions that is important for our discussions on the CWG avenues. I think it's important that we do this as soon as possible. We need to revisit the outcome of the survey that we had, remind us of some of our views and our standpoint in all this. I think it's important, just like Fatima has also mentioned, to actually have a collective position so that we actually will be speaking as not just as an individual, but as ALAC in all this process. So I would really suggest that we do that as possible. The time is already gone, and we really have not achieved some level of clear direction on what we are going to do next. So I would really suggest that we arrive at that as soon as possible, because the other communities who seem to be moving at a pace that is not matching the pace by which we are moving. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Sean. It's Olivier speaking, and I absolutely agree. I have equal concerns with you. Certainly for our next call, I suggest that we would focus primarily on two things. We'd be focusing on the INI periodic review team. As you mentioned, Sean, and as others have said, this is going to have a considerable power if it's going to be making the recommendations for the renewal of the contract. That was one, and then also we should focus on the INI contracting entity, which we haven't had a chance to discuss today, but which has brought significant concern, certainly from me, perhaps from others, because it's not known at all as to where that will be, what its jurisdiction will be, and how does one build a contracting entity that cannot be captured or destroyed, knowing that it will hold all the contracts. We'll have to do that in our next call. The question is now, when do we need our next call to be? The next call of the community working group will be next Wednesday, and we don't know what will be discussed there. Alan mentioned that a final draft, I guess, will be sent out imminently. Should we have another call this week, or should we have another call next week? I look forward to seeing in the chat. This is all about timing.
Olivier, it's Alan. I'm sorry, I can't put my hand up.
Number one, you said
final draft. I think this is the first draft. It's the first time we've seen a document all in one piece. And the co-chairs made it very clear that this is a draft going out for community comment. It is not final in any sense of the word. So I think we have to be careful of that. And yes, I suggest we do have a meeting soon, and I'm afraid I have to drop off right now. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And so I know this week is better for everyone. Let's try and find some time Thursday, because today we're Monday. Let's try a doodle. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, quick doodle for this at the usual times, whatever times we have that are available, knowing that our schedule is already pretty busy. Fatima Cameroneri, is that an old hand?
This is Fatima Cambronero. Yes, Olivier, just a brief on a quick suggestion. Until we decide when our call will be, I suggest that perhaps we might divide this document, this flowchart, in the different threads for our group so as to be able to independently deal with them so that we can express our concerns or point of views with a proposal so as to make our next call much easier and so that we can make progress on our work. That is my suggestion, and I would like to know your opinion about it. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you for this, Fatima. Olivier speaking. And yes, we will forward this flowchart to everyone. I hope that they will be able to listen to this call to hear some of the discussions that we've had. My concern is at the moment we haven't even gone through the flowchart itself. We just have the description of the four entities. I'm also told that it's Thanksgiving on Thursday, so we probably will have to get Thursday out since our staff is primarily based in the U.S., and it would be nice to give them at least one day off. So Thursday is out. Wednesday or Friday. Let's do the doodle for Wednesday or Friday. And I think we need to discuss this a lot further, Fatima. In the meantime, we'll forward this flowchart, if it hasn't already been forwarded, to our INI Issues group. We'll also forward the first draft to the mailing list when it comes out. And, of course, we'll add it to our overall pages that we have. And with this, I have to end the call. It's gone very, very fast today. I don't know why. It might be because the topic is such a very hot topic to deal with, and it's so expanding at the moment. But thanks for all of you for having come to the call. Let's follow up on emails. And thanks to the interpreters for having added another 10-15 minutes to the call. So thanks very much, Veronica. This call is now adjourned. Bye-bye.
All right.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines. Have a great rest of your day, and thank you very much for joining.